Support for KPLU comes from SF Jazz, presenters of the San Francisco Jazz Festival and Spring Season, featuring artists including Brad Meldow, Kenny Barron, Gonzalo Rubalcaba, and many more. A full list of artists, venues, and tickets at sfjazz.org.
Hello and welcome to Jazz Northwest, our regular Sunday afternoon survey of the regional jazz scene. The Seattle jazz scene lost a true friend a little over a week ago with the passing of Gay Anderson, who ran the New Orleans Creole Restaurant for many years. Today's show is devoted to her memory. For 27 years, she's been owner and operator of the New Orleans Creole Restaurant in Pioneer Square, first with her partner and chef, Jimmy Allen, who died in 1996, and since then on her own. Gay Anderson's love and support of both the players and the listeners of the jazz community is legendary. Jazz of all styles has been featured there, from traditional New Orleans and Chicago styles through swing, bebop, and new music can be heard Monday through Friday with blues bands on weekends. A typical week at the New Orleans has the New Orleans Quintet playing traditional jazz on Monday night. The Holo Trad Band plays New Orleans and Chicago style on Tuesday. Clarence Acox leads the Legacy Quartet, continuing the legacy of Floyd Standifer, who led the bop-based Wednesday Band for 20 years before his passing in 2007. Thursday's Reedman Ham Carson leads a smooth small band swing quartet, and the schedule rounds up to date with new jazz played by Thomas Marriott's Flexicon on Friday nights, featuring some of the best young jazz players in town. Various blues groups play on weekends, and special guests have played on occasion. Pianist Lynn Arial and Jessica Williams, drummer Winard Harper, and notably Dizzy Gillespie in one of his last appearances in Seattle. We've done a lot of recording and have featured many of these artists on our program from recordings made at the New Orleans. It's an eclectic schedule drawn from many sources, just like the New Orleans cuisine and the photos and memorabilia that have lined the long, narrow Pioneer Square room for years. It's been home not only to jazz and blues, but has also attracted a wide variety of people, whether by the menu, the jazz, or a place to grab a beer on the way to and from a sports event a short walk away. As a matter of fact, it's one of the best people-watching places in the city because it has attracted such a varied clientele, due mostly to the friendly personality and warm greeting nearly everyone received from the petite blonde who ran the place, Gay Anderson. She's going to be missed by so many, it's impossible to estimate, so we're going to devote today's show to her memory by featuring the music she loved to hear at the New Orleans Creole Restaurant, and we'll be talking to some of the many musicians who've played there. And let me apologize in advance to those we didn't talk to about Gay Anderson. It's just a one-hour program. Let's start with the Monday Band, the New Orleans Quintet, led by Dave Holo. This is an old tune by Owen Murphy called Oh Baby, and it's played by the Monday Night Band, the New Orleans Quintet, recorded in performance at the New Orleans Creole Restaurant with Jeff Cook on bass, and Peter Koch on piano, Jake Powell on guitar, George Goldsby reeds, and Dave Holo, the leader, on trumpet. Thank you. That's the Monday Night Band at the New Orleans Creole Restaurant, led by Dave Holo. It's called the New Orleans Quintet. Dave Holo on trumpet, George Goldsby on clarinet, Peter Cook piano, Jake Powell guitar, Jeff Cook on bass making up that band, playing a tune called Oh Baby. Ken Wiley sits in with that band periodically, playing trombone with the New Orleans Quintet on Monday nights occasionally. We talked with Dave Holo about his experience playing at the New Orleans Creole Restaurant and his memories of Gay Anderson, and we began by asking how many years he'd been playing there. Quite a while, I think.
It has been, Jim. I've been down there personally on Monday nights since June of 1988. The group that I plan was established a couple of years, maybe 3 years before I joined it. But I've been there personally since June of 1988. Every Monday night, or almost every Monday night since then. On Tuesdays, it'll be 9 years in October for Tuesdays.
Is it a rotating cast, or is it pretty much the same band with occasional substitutions?
It's occasional substitutions. We've had some personnel changes over the years. I mean, you don't keep a band together for 24 years and not have some changes.
Sure.
A couple of guys passed on, and on Tuesdays, there's been guys that just moved on to other things, but it's pretty much the same rotation every night. Sometimes we sub out. Sometimes we just go, let's go with six tonight, or let's go with four tonight, or whatever we do. But Gay has always been very tolerant of that. She just went, hey, I trust you to put good music up on the stage, and you do what you think is right.
She did put a lot of faith in the musicians she liked to have playing at the club, and she just turned them loose and said, you guys know what you're doing.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't think she ever said one word to me about any musician I ever hired, about anything that I wanted to play or didn't want to play. I mean, the only times that I would ever get input from her on what we should play was when someone had a birthday, and she'd go, we got a birthday on table 7, and the name is, and she'd give me that. And then she really liked Joe Avery's piece. And she requested Joy Avery's piece from the Monday Night Band.
Hmm.
Many times. Enough times that finally when we would see her walk through the dining room and we were getting ready to finish out, we'd say, and this is for the boss, her favorite tune, and then we'd close the evening with Joy Avery's piece.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. What do you think it was about her personality that inspired this great collection of people who, this community that felt the New Orleans was their home to hang out in?
She was so honest and open about what she felt about the music and about the place and about the pay. I mean, she liked people. There are people who probably don't understand the depth of the commitment and the passion that she had for that place, but it was incredible. And she was driven to make that place what she wanted it to be, to keep it what she wanted it to be. She would go to the tables and talk to the people while they were looking at the menus or if they asked for suggestions. If she knew the people, like my family was in there dozens of times, and she would recognize them, come over, sit down with them and say, how you doing? I haven't seen you in a long time. Can I get you a beer? And sit there and chat with them. And they always went, what a fun place that is. What a nice lady that is, you know.
She really could make everybody feel special.
She did. She didn't hold back much. If someone got out of line, she'd let them know that. I mean, it didn't usually happen with the patrons, but sometimes people would come wandering in off the street, start a commotion, and she would just go, hey, this isn't the place for that.
Yeah, she'd let them know they were in the wrong place. Oh, God bless her. She's such a wonderful part of Seattle soul. I think we're going to really miss her.
Oh, that's absolutely for certain. I hope that the New Orleans can continue on in the vein that Gay started in and would want it to continue on. She had so much personal commitment and passion towards that place that you have to hope that it can continue on, even in the vein that she wanted it, because it won't be the same. But with any luck, it could be close enough that she would be okay with it.
Thanks, Dave. It's a real pleasure talking to you, and thanks for your input, and thanks for all your music.
Well, thank you, Jim. Thanks for calling, and thanks for caring. It's great.
That was Dave Holo of the Holo Trad Band and the New Orleans Quintet, which we heard to begin the program. We'll be hearing something by the Holo Trad Band next as we continue in this salute to beloved club owner Gay Anderson of the New Orleans Creole Restaurant. Here is the Holo Trad Band playing a tune called the Decatur Street Tootie by Jabbo Smith. This was recorded in March of 2007 at the New Orleans Creole Restaurant with Dave Holo on cornet, Dave Loomis on trombone, Bruce Hall clarinet, Peter Cook on piano, Lance Haslin is the guitarist, Matt Weiner on bass, and Mike Doherty on drums in the Decatur Street Tootie.
Thank you.
Steve Holo and the Holo Trad Band playing at the New Orleans Creole Restaurant, one of the groups that plays there every week on Tuesday nights. That was a tune called the Decatur Street Tootie, written by trumpet player Jabbo Smith, and recorded in March of 2007 with Dave Holo, Dave Loomis, Bruce Hall, Peter Cook, Lance Haslin, Matt Weiner, and Mike Doherty making up the band on Tuesday nights there at the New Orleans Creole Restaurant in Seattle. On this tribute to Gay Anderson, the owner-operator of the New Orleans Creole Restaurant, we're going to continue with some music by Floyd Standifer, who is a longtime fixture at the club, as we continue with this salute here on Jazz Northwest, coming to you from 88.5 KPLU. Floyd Standifer, I used to kid about the New Orleans. He started playing there when it was over on Yesler Street, and then they moved over to First Avenue without telling him, but he found the place anyhow. No, he knew all along. He was an important part of the music at the New Orleans. Playing on Wednesday night, Floyd was sort of the grandfather of jazz in Seattle, particularly in his later years. He was a lifelong player in Seattle. He traveled with Quincy Jones. He was a notable recording artist and a wonderful entertainer in the best sense of that word. Trumpet player, tenor saxophonist, and singer. He was just a marvelous personality to have on stage at the New Orleans. His music was more modern, however, than the two groups we've heard already. His was more of a bebop-based kind of group. And in the recording we're about to hear, which was made in early 1996 at the New Orleans Creole Restaurant, he is joined here by Billy Wallace on piano, Phil Sparks on bass, and Clarence Acox on drums. And we'll hear the Floyd Standifer Quintet doing a tune that was written by Thelonious Monk as a salute to Bud Powell, but it could just as well have been named for Bud Young, who ran Bud's Jazz Records just around the corner and often walked in about the time this tune was playing. In walked Bud with the Floyd Standifer Quartet. Thank you. Floyd Standifer on trumpet playing at the New Orleans Creole Restaurant. That was recorded in 1996 when the band was celebrating its 10th anniversary at the club, and Floyd went on to play another 10 years, and it was always a great celebration every milestone in that gig. 20 years leading that band at the New Orleans, and the spirit continues today as the band is led by the drummer Clarence Acox with various featured artists. Phil Sparks on bass and Billy Wallace on piano in this 1996 performance with Floyd on trumpet, and the tune In Walked Bud, as much for Bud Young as for Bud Powell. You're listening to Jazz Northwest from 88.5 KPLU, Tacoma, Seattle. Jim Wilkie with you here, celebrating the memory of Gay Anderson, who passed recently and was the spirit of the New Orleans Creole Restaurant. We're playing some of her favorite bands on today's program. We also talked with Clarence Acox about playing at the New Orleans with Floyd and also for Gay Anderson.
We started at the Yesso Place in 1986. We just celebrated 26 years last May. Yeah, he passed in 2007, and we decided to name the group the Legacy Quartet to honor his legacy because he was such an instrumental figure in the jazz scene in Seattle. So we wanted to honor his legacy. That's why we call it the Legacy Quartet.
There's also a certain legacy here with Gay Anderson, who's just passed. And Gay was such an important part of the Seattle jazz scene, has been for many years, and I can't count how many tributes I've gone to at the New Orleans for musicians who've passed, and now it's Gay.
Right. She had such an affinity for the musicians. And when I say musicians, I'm talking about all the musicians, the trad players, the swing players, the bebop players, the blues players, the R&B. She had an affinity for all the musicians, and she gave them all a place to play and perform.
She had such a friendly, welcoming style, too. It seemed like everybody was one of her best friends when they walked into the place.
Well, that's what made the New Orleans so special. It was a very unpretentious place. I've seen people come in there with tuxedos, with jeans and tennis shoes. It didn't matter how you were dressed.
And the people who are just coming in after a game for a drink.
That's right.
It was really right. A wide-ranging bunch of personalities that showed up there.
And that's what made it so special. It made it different from most clubs.
Great people-watching place, too.
Yeah, well, there are people that come down there to do that, too. Just watch the people that come in. Because they're all kinds.
Any personal reflections on Gay Anderson that you'd like to share with us?
Well, first of all, when Floyd started playing there, they had a very, very close relationship. As a matter of fact, when Floyd died, she said that was her best friend. And she respected the history that Floyd brought. And when he passed on, she respected what we were trying to do. So she was just warm, congenial, always giving, and always trying to help someone, and never, absolutely never wanted recognition for herself. If you started mentioning her name on a microphone, she'd run somewhere and hide.
I saw that so many times, right?
Yeah, she just didn't want to be recognized. She was just behind the scenes doing what she thought was right for the musician and promoting the music that was playing at the club on a given night.
I've heard that the family is intending to carry on with the club.
Well, the last word I got, that the family definitely wants to carry on and keep things moving, and that's the number one question that people ask me whenever I see them. What's going to happen with the club? Are they going to keep it open? And as we speak, it's open now. That's the general idea. So we are willing to help the family in any way to maintain what was started many years ago.
Well, it'll be a major tribute event when it occurs, and I think plans are still being formulated at this stage, but we'll be sure to pass the word on if you'll let us know what's coming up.
Well, that is very much appreciated. It'll be one hell of an event or events, whichever the family decides.
Yeah, great. Clarence, thank you so much, and thanks for sharing your thoughts on Gay Anderson.
My pleasure.
Clarence Acox, who has played drums at the New Orleans Creole Restaurant, first with Floyd Standifer and now leading the group himself, for the past 26-plus years at the New Orleans on Wednesday nights. In Clarence's own first album, called Joanna's Dance, there was a tune called Jimmy and Gay's Place, which is named for the New Orleans Creole restaurant. At that point, this particular group had been playing there for just 5 years. This was the original makeup of the Floyd Standifer group, with Floyd on tenor sax in this case, Robin Coots on guitar, Phil Sparks on bass, and Clarence A. Cox at the drums. Thank you. From Clarence Acock's album Joanna's Dance, that was actually the Floyd Stanifer Quartet of that time. The tune titled Jimmy and Gay's Place for Jimmy Allen and Gay Anderson, and their place, the New Orleans Creole Restaurant. Floyd Stanifer on tenor, Robin Kutz guitar, Phil Sparks bass, and Clarence Acocks at the drums. Next, we're going to be listening to some music from Ray Shelbred, whose band plays on the first Thursday of each month at the New Orleans Creole Restaurant. And Ray Shelbred is the pianist and leader of this band, a longtime fixture on the Seattle jazz scene, and was one of the founders of the Great Excelsior jazz band years ago. Ray has played up and down the West Coast and in Europe as well. He's performed with Turk Murphy's Jazz Band and Bob Schultz and the Frisco Jazz Band, as well as leading his own groups. We caught up with him at his home.
Well, part of the thing about Gay is that what you see is the results of her behavior and her thoughts, you know. For many years, when I didn't live here, I lived in Berkeley in Oakland, and I would play with other bands that came in from out of town, people from all over the country, and they would all say to me, there's nothing like this anywhere in the country. And it was really just the feeling that you could walk in there and absolutely just be yourself. There was never a thought that there was anything artificial or entertainment unrelated to what you actually wanted to play. And that was the result of her attitude toward the environment, toward the music, and toward the musicians. And that was what I always felt from her. And when she had time, every now and then I'd see her come out there and just sit down at a table in front of us and listen. And so that in the sense of having a club, she was really a fan more than a club owner. And I don't know how she did it. Kept music going every night down there. There's something mysterious about it, but it must have been something that really mattered to her. Uh-huh. And I really thought that was remarkable. And everybody I knew from out of town who came here felt the same way.
That's a very interesting comment that, you know, that resonated with people from elsewhere. You know, I thought maybe it was just a local phenomenon, but it sounds like it was a national phenomenon from that standpoint.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. I mean, I've friends from, you know, a lot from California and Chicago and other places who said, we wish there was something like this where we live. And it's, you know, for me, a big part of music is informality. I'm really informal in my nature, and it was absolutely wonderful to be there. And she was a real friend. She was sometimes a little grouchy with people, but she was always a friend of the individuals, and she looked forward to seeing whoever came in there to play. I think she was always intending that this be some kind of really magical thing in a kind of completely non-pretentious way.
It was a center for the jazz community in that sense. And one of the things that I'll never forget about the club is that great wall of snapshots in the bar of just, you know, people who visited there. It wasn't celebrities or anything like that. It was just the community that showed up there every week.
I think everybody had fun. And I was always aware, and I've always liked the idea that a successful jazz audience is really a mixture of many kinds of people.
Yes, yes.
And there are the people who come there and they sit in the same seats every night when they come to hear people play. But then there are the people who came for food, or in my case, it was on the first Thursday with the art walk. People came in for that, or they'd come in after the ball game, or they would be just walking down the street, or somebody just go to the bar, and they really liked the bar. It was pretty informal.
Or they hear the music coming out the door.
They'd hear them in. Yeah, and that with no particular notion of what that music was, and it would draw people in. Yeah. There was something that she was, I'm certain it was her, able to communicate. This kind of pull in that place,
I always told people about it. I said, you don't have to be a jazz fan to enjoy this place, because it's just the sense of community, and it's a great people-watching place because of the great variety of people who were attracted.
Yes.
And that was largely due to Gay.
Yeah. She also worried a little bit about the community outside sometimes, and, you know, it
was a challenge.
It's not the most perfect neighborhood sometimes, and sometimes there would be like really big guys come in there who were not being friendly, you know, and she'd walk right up and tell him to leave and push him out the door practically, you know, given her small size. And they always left, you know. She was a voice of authority.
What'd she weigh, 95 pounds or something that, like that? Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Well, we've lost a true friend, that's for sure. And she's made her mark on the community indelibly.
Yeah. I believe.
Yeah. Thanks, Ray.
Okay. We're down here in Pioneer Square. This is the First Thursday Band, and we're going to play music until 10 o'clock. The Yellow Dog Blues. Thank you.
little Thursday night music from the New Orleans Creole Restaurant in that set. We first heard from the band led by Ray Shawbread, the First Thursday Band. They play the first Thursday of each month in conjunction or simultaneously with the Art Walk, which goes on in Pioneer Square. They played Yellow Dog Blues by W.C. Handy. Steve Wright was on alto sax, Dave Brown bass, Mike Doherty on drums, and Ray Shawbread at the piano. Just now, we were listening to the Ham Carson Quartet. Ham played tenor sax and clarinet on that, with Bob Hammer at the piano, Jeff Wilkie, no relation, on guitar, Buddy Catlett was on bass, and Dave Stettler on drums. And we heard them playing 920 Special, a tune out of the Basie Band book written by Earl Warren. You're listening to Jazz Northwest from 88.5 KPLU. Jim Wilkie with you here, remembering Gay Anderson, the proprietor of the New Orleans Creole Restaurant in Pioneer Square, a true jazz beacon, much beloved by fans as well as musicians. We talked with Maya Santel, whose House Blend band played in the early years, first on Yesler and then on First Avenue, and occasionally ever since. As a matter of fact, she was talking with Gay Anderson about an upcoming holiday show at the New Orleans just a few days before Gay passed. We asked if Maya Santel had any anecdotes or memories of working with Gay Anderson.
I do have a little anecdote. She was so protective of her employees and her staff as well, as her favorite musicians. There was one night, in fact, I was on stage singing an old Ruth Brown tune, Fine Brown Frame, and there was a gentleman in the audience that I had planned to get up on the stage and do just a short little skit where he was basically being flirtatious during the tune. Well, Gay, she didn't know that it was planned.
Uh-oh.
And you could see in her eyes, she was just so worried about me, and I couldn't convey too much because I was singing the tune, and oh gosh, so she didn't understand what was going on. She threw him out on his ears. She was so worried about me, and of course, the night had to go on, and the tune had to go on, so I never got a chance to tell her it was all a skit, but I think she was just so concerned and loyal to a, you know, to a fault, to the people that she enjoyed working with.
She was so amazing because she was so petite. You know, we were talking with someone earlier, and she probably weighed like 95 pounds or something like that. But boy, she had a presence about her that she could come up to some of the biggest guys and tell them to get out of here.
That's exactly what I remember. Yes, she was a pistol. Oh, Jim, yeah, what a legend.
Thank you so much. Well, this has got to be our theme song. We're firm believers in this philosophy. It don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. Do-wah, do-wah. It don't mean a thing. All you got to do is swing. Shoo-ba-doo-ba-ba-ba-shoo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba- You got to give that rhythm everything you've got. It don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. Shoo-ba-doo-bop, shoo-ba-doo-wop-wop, shoo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-wop.
That's a taste of Maya Santel and her band playing at the New Orleans Creole Restaurant for Gay Anderson. And we are rapidly running out of time. There are so many more people we could have talked to. Pete Lennonen, who has had a connection with Gay Anderson and the New Orleans Creole Restaurant, playing with the John Holt Radio Rhythm Band and continuing to lead the band after John Holt's passing. Many others, too. And certainly the continuum going on with younger bands like Thomas Marriott and his band Flexicon that plays there on Friday nights. Here's a little sample of Thomas Marriott and Flexicon with Mark Taylor, Bill Anschel on a Fender Rhodes piano here. That's Thomas Marriott and his band Flexicon, the Friday night band at the New Orleans Creole Restaurant, with Thomas Marriott on trumpet, Mark Taylor on alto, Bill Anschel on piano, Jeff Johnson bass, and Matt Jorgensen on drums in Brothers and Sisters. And our thanks to all the brothers and sisters who participated in this special tribute to Gay Anderson, proprietor and owner of the New Orleans Creole Restaurant. For now, the restaurant is continuing with its regular lineup of talent. Hope you'll drop in. We'll have information about a memorial tribute to Gay as it becomes available. Thank you so much for listening to Jazz Northwest today. Jim Wilkie with you here. Stay tuned for Piano Jazz with Marion McPartland coming up next. Today's program features violinist Stefan Grappelli. You're listening to 88.5 KPLU Tacoma, Seattle, 90.1 KPLI Olympia, and 89.3 KVIX Port Angeles, Victoria. NPR News and All That Jazz, a community service of Pacific Lutheran University.